A crypto podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London, so let's get down to business. Today we have a very special show. And the reason why it's so special is because it's something that I feel is close to where the attention is. Now, in the crypto and blockchain space, everyone's been talking about gaming. Gaming is a big focus. We've seen more and more implementation from the blockchain world over to the gaming world. We've seen new games utilizing aspects of blockchain within their in-game transactions and marketplace, so on and so forth. So what we've done today is we've brought on Nathan and Rami James. If you haven't heard of these guys, they're the founders of Scatter. Scatter, in essence, is a security firm. But they've done lots of great things for the crypto community, especially EOS. One of the new projects that they've launched is Scatter Marketplace, an in-game marketplace for in-game transactions. Now, it's not just focusing on EOS. They're going to be working with multiple different blockchains out there. So here's the interview I conducted with these guys today. I hope you find some value and enjoy the show. If you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast and make sure to give it a rating as well. So with that in mind, let's get into the interview and let's get down to business. On the show today, we have Nathan James and Rami James. These are the two people behind Scatter. They're the founders. They're the guys who make it happen. Guys, how's it going today?
Going pretty good.
Yeah, going well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for making the time to come onto the show today. I know you guys are super busy with everything that's going down in your world at the minute, which we'll get onto later in the show. But first of all, for the guys that haven't heard of you already, please be so kind to give the listeners a quick intro to yourselves.
Or am I going first? Nathan James. I've been a developer for quite a long time. Got into blockchain a little while ago. Instantly fell in love. We all know the story. You learn about blockchain, can't sleep without thinking about blockchain. And that's pretty much it. I started Scatter about a year and change ago. And it's been just a really strange, exciting adventure.
I'm Rami James. I'm head of product at Scatter. I've been doing design for about 20 years. I joined in September and went full-time and all-in about a month ago. It's been a really gratifying and exhilarating journey. I feel really blessed that I get to work with Nathan, and it was really the heart and soul of Scatter.
So we would love to hear it. You two are brothers as well, which is even greater.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty fun working together.
That's what we love to hear. So listen, guys, I really want to get straight down to business with your views on where we currently are in the cryptocurrency and blockchain space. So why don't we talk about gaming? Gaming is currently a big focus. What excites you most about the gaming space and blockchain's use case within it?
So what we think is most exciting about bringing gaming to the blockchain is that it opens up new and unique business opportunities that largely frees both developers and users from the up until now necessary chains of privacy infringing advertising. When developers can provide users with gameplay use cases that are profitable and fun, I think we'll know that the blockchain technology that we've been all working so hard on has made an indelible impact on gaming forever.
And how about yourself, Nathan? What's your view?
You know, I'm a gamer at heart. And I've played a lot of games, more than I'd like to admit in my lifetime. Spent a bit too many hours on that. And I know the passion that goes into gaming. I know it's almost analogous to crypto itself. You know, you have these tribes of gamers who, you know, your game sucks, no, my game's better. And you kind of have the same thing in blockchain or different blockchain projects. And I think that it's a really good fit, not just in terms of mindset, but in terms of capabilities, where we can give gamers what they've actually been requiring for the past couple of years, but don't know that they absolutely need it, like really owned assets, not owned in the sense that they can't change the stats, but owned in the sense that nobody can take away your asset, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And we saw recently in things like Steam where these marketplaces got shut down because Steam decided that it wasn't appropriate for people to sell them on those marketplaces and et cetera, et cetera. And you can't do that with blockchain. You know, we really take out the middleman and cure that part of gaming.
Yeah, I think we've all, like, over the last, like, 20 or 30 years have gotten really used to the idea that, like, the stuff that we get from companies doesn't really belong to us. And I don't think that that's actually what we want. That's what's actually good for us as, you know, gamers or application users. That's what's good for companies. And we're here to kind of wrest control back for the users and for ourselves. You know, this is, we're building it not just for everybody else, but because this is what we want to use. We want, you know, access to these items in under our own umbrella. They're ours. They should be ours.
As the users, not scattered.
Yeah, I mean, like, ours as in, like, Keto Gamers, not as in everything belongs to Scatter now.
All your base is mine.
Do you feel that the gamers themselves will, or gaming, the gaming industry as a whole will be easier as an industry to adopt blockchain, since gamers have been mining gold and they really understand the purpose of cryptocurrency as well?
I think it goes even further than that. I think that gamers, as at their core, they're a little bit more technical than normal users. Mm-hmm. You know, they're used to installing games, they're used to installing peripherals for games, whether it's new mice or keyboards, things that are actually hardware, or whether it's software, things like, I hate to say it, but aim hacks or network changers and things like that, you know, cheat codes. They're a little bit more proficient in tech in general. And that makes them the optimal candidate for blockchain adoption, because them understanding a wallet is a lot easier than somebody, you know, who only opens their computer to write Word documents at work.
Yeah, right. I agree. Well, let's talk about non-fungible tokens. There's a lot of talk within the crypto community regarding that. What value do you see them bringing to gaming as a whole?
I mean, it's untapped potential. We really don't know what the limit of that. The obvious is that it's going to bring value. There's no way about it where it wouldn't bring value. When users own their own assets, they can take them out of the game and do with them what they will. They can sell them on marketplaces that aren't owned by the game. They can bring them into other games that support kind of, you know, multi-part assets. So maybe there's a gold contract, which is global for a set of 20 games or something like that. And this is things that you can't really do because it's not in the incentives of a company to create these assets that other games can use. Right, it's in the incentives of the user. Mm-hmm. And we just haven't seen anything like that, because up until recently, it really wasn't possible. I mean, without EOS and the transaction times of blockchains like EOS, there was no real way to play actual AAA games on the blockchain. You just wouldn't sit there and wait for transaction fees, unless it was something where all it did was cash your asset on the blockchain, which is okay too.
Ryan, what are your thoughts on this as well?
I think that what's most exciting here is the idea that developers themselves get to do what they want. I think that, especially if you're an indie developer, building out a game that provides, like, real value for you, that can make your game successful, and real value for your users, which, you know, builds loyalty, builds a community, brings back your players. I think that that's like a real tall order, a hard task for an indie developer to do. And I think that a lot of the technologies that we're building, you know, these standards, especially DGoods, they kind of like give a leg up for these indie developers. We had a talk with a guy that we're interested in working with last night, and he's been building out a game, and he wants to focus on the gameplay. He wants to focus on making his game fun and interesting for his users. And, like, all of that back-end stuff that these NFT standards bring to the table, he doesn't want to deal with that stuff. And if we can provide that underlying technology, then that's a boon for everybody. And that's really what Scatter is all about.
So with that in mind, can you bring the listeners up to speed with what you guys have been working on so tirelessly for the last couple of weeks, couple of months? Can you reveal
years.
It's been months. Oh my god.
So many months. We're so tired. Wow. What have we been
Everything. I guess the main question here is marketplace, right? Everybody's interested in marketplace.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're trying to, when we look at, we noticed something when we looked at a lot of these marketplaces, specifically crypto marketplaces. They're very different. They're not anything that users are accustomed to. They're not anything that they, you know, feel comfortable using. Most people don't care about graphs. They don't care about all of that kind of stuff. It's a very crypto thing. There's a very different paradigm in crypto regarding marketplaces than there is in the rest of the world. When we try to compare it to things like Amazon, it's a very easy thing to do to put something on Amazon at an auction and just sell it off. It seems like that's missing in crypto. You don't have upsells. You don't have any of that kind of stuff, which really makes people want to use a website to purchase things appropriately. You know, sometimes you want to buy something and you need something with it. The analogy would be a phone with a cable, whereas in a game, it would be a sword with an armor, right? And we don't see that in most of these marketplaces where you have the ability to buy entire packages. And one of the things that we're focusing on in the marketplace is your own personal store. So you can kind of group things together and sell things off as a package. And the DGOOD standards happens, and also the simple asset standards, happens to support that. So you can send multiple NFTs as a bundle, meaning that you can also purchase them as a bundle.
Right. I think for users themselves, it's also more interesting to run a store which isn't just a random eclectic collection of items that you happen to have picked up along the way. I think that we're going to actually see like a blossoming of economies on these technologies, which means that you'll have users that specialize in, you know, armor, or users that specialize in a special type of game,
right,
or
my gold,
you know, collect, you know, yeah, gold or whatever. And you'll know that, you know, the cheapest prices that you can get, or the most trustworthy user that you can buy from, will be from this store. And that's something that currently simply doesn't exist. And we think that empowering users, you know, in any way is super cool. It's like what we build stuff for.
We actually batted around the idea of making the store itself an NFT, so that, you know, the more sales that you have in your store, your store's level itself goes up, and then you can trade those stores. It's something we're just contemplating, but it's an interesting idea that can only be fueled by these specific use cases.
Yeah. How cool would it be if you could, you know, build up a store, build a business, and when you're done, the business itself, it has value, just like in the real world, and you can sell that store to another user that just wants to, you know, continue on the journey of that particular store.
So what was the original vision behind Scatter Marketplace? And by the way, I've checked it out, what I've seen on the Medium post, which we'll link at the bottom of this podcast, and I was so blown away with the ease of use and how recognizable it was and how easy it was to just navigate through the store. But what was the original inspiration behind this? Because a lot of work, a lot of ideas have been put to work here.
Well, I think the marketplace itself came about because we were working with some other teams on the DGoods initiative. So we know that developers need standardization, both because it makes their lives easier and because it makes working together on a network easier. And once we understood that the initiative itself was going to be a success, and that some of our partners in the initiative were pushing it, you know, really quite hard publicly, it kind of just became obvious to us that building our own marketplace was the way to go. I mean, we have an interesting wallet. We have an interesting user base. We have engaged gamers. I mean, it's a good fit.
I think one of our also big kind of reasons for doing it is that primarily we're not actually a wallet. We're a service provider. Right. A lot of our things, they pertain to developers first and foremost. You know, we have these SDKs for EOS and Tron and Ethereum. And this becomes another stack for that. So this marketplace specifically, you can pull into any wallet. It's not only Forescatter. You can also pull it into dApps and games, and you can, you know, limit it to only your NFTs, so you don't have to create a marketplace inside of your own dApp. You can just use this one. It's plug and play. And I think that that really helps to raise the, or rather lower the entrance for a lot of these developers who might not know specifically what they're doing when it comes to that kind of stuff, but they know a lot of JavaScript, and they know a lot of C sharp, and they know how to make games or websites. And it just gets that out of their way for them. They can create a token, put it on the marketplace, and be done.
Yeah, I wince every time that I have to say the word wallet, because that's really not what Scatter is.
Right.
Scatter is like this like set of technologies that happen to have a wallet, you know, interlaced in them, but it's way more than that.
I think internally we pretty much consider our wallet like a testing ground for all of the other services that we create.
Yeah. Like, especially like the fact that I think, what are we up to, like 13, 14 other wallets that are integrating Scatter technologies now? I mean, like Scatter, the wallet itself is just kind of, you know, we build it because we have to. Yeah. But like it's not, I think, even the core focus of the company.
And like when you see a lot of different marketplaces coming out, as we're seeing at the minute, they're very exclusive to one protocol. Now, you guys obviously are embedded within the EOS community, but Scatter Marketplace itself has breached out to other protocols out there, other blockchains. Why was it important for you guys to have that in the thesis, have that as part of the idea?
We don't believe in single blockchains. I don't think that that's the way that we envision the future of this technology. I don't think that it'll be apparent to what blockchain you're using in the future. I don't think users necessarily care what blockchain they're using unless they're heavy traders or quote unquote bag holders. And the power of having a multi-blockchain supporting marketplace is that you can buy assets for any blockchain that is currently supported, and you don't even necessarily need to know what blockchain it's on. It doesn't really matter because you don't know what blockchain the game is on. Right? You're just using these assets as a piece of another software, and the software isn't a blockchain.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Blockchain is for developers. Most of the users, when they play a AAA game, they have no idea what database technology that game is using. They don't care. They don't want to know. And we think that blockchain is the same way. We want to empower developers to put out better software quicker. For the users, they don't care.
Yeah, I agree. I think that in the future, people aren't even going to know they're using blockchain or any element of blockchain itself. It's just going to be embedded into the background. So with that in mind, within the marketplace itself, you've implemented a feature called Riddle. Now, this is really exciting. Can you explain to the listeners what Riddle is and how it works?
So Riddle actually stands for Reputation and Identity Layer. It's a system that we've been building for a while. It's a lot of tiny little pieces that work together. It's completely dynamic for setting reputations about anything. So what we're specifically using it for in the marketplace is we're trying to set a way to sort things for users based on what users say, right? So this is completely decentralized. It's user fed. We have no way of controlling it, right? And what we're hoping for it to achieve is, let's say you're playing a game, any random game, and you get an item. You don't necessarily know if the item is good or not. You don't know if it's rare or not, if it's unique or not. But people can tell you in a decentralized manner that it is rare or it is unique or it's worth something. And you won't go and sell it to some random NPC in the game. You'll be able to see that on the marketplace and see the current value in an estimate rather than a token value. You'll see its, you know, score from 0 to 5 or -5. And it gives a little bit easier time to be able to globally view all of the items in a certain specific way, not attached to value, but attached to some kind of reputation.
And Rami, why do you think that Riddle is so important? And why do you think that we need to have a feature like Riddle?
Well, I think, so we're kind of like branching off from the discussion about the marketplace, but Riddle itself stands apart from the marketplace. It's something that Originally, the intent was for it to be a way, well, at least our implementation within Scatter Desktop, it's a way to keep users safe. So when you sign a transaction on a web app using Scatter, you get the pop-up, but you don't know whether the transaction is safe or not. And recently, there was the whole update auth fiasco where a bunch of users, they lost access to their accounts because there was no way for them to know that the update auth action was something that was dangerous, potentially dangerous. And Riddle solves for that particular case, but it solves in a more general terms for knowing whether the entity that you're doing a transaction against is trustworthy or not. And of course, like Riddle itself has many fragments which make up its total score, including whether they're trustworthy, whether they're solvent, whether they're, you know, scams, et cetera, et cetera. And we think that Riddle will make a big difference for acceptance of blockchain, because we can't expect users to, especially new users, to come into a system and know what's safe and what's not safe. That's too much to ask. It's too much of a learning curve. But if the network as a whole can help teach new users using the system, then we think that users will have a better overall experience. And of course, that extends into the marketplace, because, you know, entities like contracts or users who create NFTs, the NFTs will inherit from the parent's Riddle score, and will, you know, if it's a bad user, he's going to create bad NFTs, and users will know not to purchase those NFTs.
Another interesting point to that is that because of the way that EOS.io works, you can have multiple tokens on different contracts with the same symbol and the same exact asset, right? And Riddle helps us define which are the real ones and which are the fake ones.
That's right.
And I know there's a lot of hype at the minute in the community regarding Scatter Marketplace. When can people expect this to be live? What's the date? Do you have any in mind, or is this still something you're working towards?
As soon as it's done.
we actually, last week, the developer that we're working with showed us an early prototype of, you know, like the basics working, where you can create NFTs and you can, you know, sell them and buy them. And it was really exciting to play with, because it's the kind of thing that, you know, we've had in our heads for months already, but once it starts to come to life, it picks up steam real quick. And we've been pounding out designs and building a lot of the foundational architecture that we need for it, and hopefully sooner rather than later.
Well, I know I speak on behalf of all the crypto community out there. Everyone's excited to see this come to fruition and to see this live. But guys, listen, while we have you on the show, is there anything you can share exclusively of the SVK crypto community listening? All your secrets.
We do like to keep we like to keep our cards close to our chest.
So here's the thing, we're a security company, right? So it's very hard for us to like tell people that we're not going to talk about their stuff and then talk about their stuff.
What can we give? What sneak previews can we give out there? You guys are tough, man. You guys are tough.
Well, we know that like our resources are pretty limited, and if we spout off about stuff that we're not ready, somebody else is going to take that and run with it, and we would hate to lose our opportunity.
Of course. And how can people stay up to date and up to speed of all the progress coming through? What's the best place to learn more?
I think following us on Twitter and joining the Telegram channel.
And all the links will be below. Listen, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know you're super busy. Good luck with everything. Anything we could do here in London, let us know. Everyone's behind you. Let's do this.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having us, Charles.
I want to thank Nathan and Rami for making it on the show today. I know they have extremely busy schedules, but really appreciate them coming on to talk to all of us about Scatter Marketplace and really what was behind Scatter Marketplace and their future outlooks as well. including the complexities within that being Riddle and all the other great features they've been working on. If you haven't already, hit us up here at SVK Crypto. Join our Telegram, SVK Crowd. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. If you have any EOS projects or you want to get in touch with us, feel free to email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. With that in mind, that's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.